God's gifts. The key text today calls attention to the fact that when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. Now, this was certainly not the first time he had given gifts to men. We can start from Genesis 1. We can go all through the Bible. Before man's fall, God was generous to an enormous degree. After the fall, God kept on giving. And then with the coming of Jesus, all through his ministry, the gifts flowed abundantly. And when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave in the Holy Spirit the greatest of all gifts. And this week we are going to consider some of the more important aspects of the gifts that God has given to men. First of all, the gift at Bethlehem. Unto you this day is born a Savior, who is the anointed Lord, Christ the Lord. And as a result, peace, goodwill to all mankind. A babe, God, the infinite, supreme, omnipresent, all-powerful, crushed his greatness into a handful of a body, the babe born by the maid of Nazareth. No longer in every place, no longer knowing everything, no longer mobile, now dependent on the whim and the caprice of a young mother. Humility, love, self-emptying. The gift of Bethlehem almost staggers the imagination. The infinite becomes finite to lift finite man onto the throne of the infinite. Part number two, the gift of Calvary. Scarcely for a righteous man, Paul notes, will one die. For a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, enemies, aliens, Christ died for us. Can you think of Calvary and see a friend around Jesus? One of his disciples had just betrayed him. 11 have fled. One or two come slinking back to the cross. The wise and the great and the powerful among the Romans, among the Jews, are there ridiculing and despising. The Roman mercenaries gambling over his clothes. The multitude indulging in ribaldry and jest. Satan exulting. The gift of Calvary, the controlled self-denial that kept Jesus Christ on the cross. He could have stepped off by a thought. He could have destroyed this world by a request. But even on the cross, Jesus surrendered self to carry out the Father's will and die. In our place, that we might live with him in his place. Part number three, the gift of the Holy Spirit. When I go away, he says, I will send another comforter. Another is another of the same kind, like Jesus, who will speak Jesus' words, who will remind of Jesus' teachings, who will bring the realization of Jesus' presence in the life, who will teach all things as Jesus did. The Holy Spirit is the gift that he promised. And this Holy Spirit functions in different persons in different ways. To some he gives the aggressive missionary spirit of the apostle. To another he gives the discipline, studiousness, clarity of thinking and expression of a teacher. To another he gives the executive power of a ruler. To others, he gives the simple, faithful, willing attitude of a helper. Some he makes eloquent with languages. Others he gives the spirit of prophecy, of explanation and proclamation. Christ is represented by the Holy Spirit. And when this Spirit is appreciated, when those who are controlled by the Spirit communicate to others, the energy with which they are imbued, an invisible cord is touched which electrifies the whole. What a wonderful statement this note is. When we ourselves are filled with the Holy Spirit and then set out to do God's will, an invisible current that fills with energy, that electrifies the whole, goes into effect. Part number 4 deals with the gift of faith. We should realize that faith is not our own, it's a gift of God. Faith is a gift. What is faith? Faith is putting our bodies, our money, our lives, where many times we've put our protestations and our tongues. A man ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Our text tells us, we ought to think adequately. This is true humility. If God has given us some gift, we oughtn't to think too highly of it, but we ought to realize that we have the gift. If we can play the piano, let's use it to God's glory. If we can sing, let's not constantly be depreciating our voice, but let us use it so that it may benefit somebody else. If we can build, if we have mechanical skills, if we can paint, what hast thou that thou hast not received? God has given us all these gifts. We should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we ought to think soberly and come to a settled conclusion as to how we are going to use this gift or talent that God has given to us. And then let us exercise faith. When William Miller first realized that he had a message, he was indifferent. And then he prayed and said, Lord, if you give me an opportunity, I will proclaim this truth. And the Lord did. And he exercised faith in the Lord's commission and went on in increasing strength until the world was warned of the soon coming of Christ. Faith is putting our lives where we put our mouth. What we say, we should carry out. Part number 5, the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ died that we might live. Not live in this life only, but live the life that never ends. This is God's gift to us. And this gift begins now, in the fullness of joy, in the added strength and resistance to disease and temptation. Eternal life begins now. Let us value this gift, and let us use the life that God has entrusted to us for the greatest blessing of all mankind. Part number 6, the gift of gratitude. Gratitude. Are we grateful for what God has given to us? Do we give thanks every day to our Father in heaven? This quarter we have been thinking about stewardship. We have reviewed from every angle the benefits that we have received from God. We have seen that these benefits cover every area of human life. They deal with health and the physical realm. They deal with mental, spiritual, emotional abilities and talents that we have to help others. They deal with the intellectual powers that God has given to us to think and reason, to devise and do. They deal with the material blessings that accrue to us as a result of utilizing all God's gifts. Do we express gratitude for this? Every morning, we awaken to a new day. We are alive. We can think straight. Our bodies are functioning. We should thank God for His gifts. When we work, we should thank God that we have work to do. When we pick up our paycheck, we should thank God that we have a paycheck to pick up. When we lay aside the tithes and the offerings, we ought to be grateful that we can give God what is His due and more than His due for the blessing of His fellow men. This kind of gratitude is the twin of contentment. As we review His benefits, we realize that God never stops giving. We should therefore pray and dedicate ourselves to be faithful, honest stewards.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.